Welcome to Empire Building. I'm Wendy Papazan, and together with my four co-hosts, we bring you weekly unfiltered conversations about leadership, growing a big empire, and living on your own terms.
I'm Kimber Lovett-Minkiti. We are investors and wealth builders with over $75 million in combined net worth.
I'm Sarah Reynolds. We are visionaries who've built more than 50 businesses with over $122 million in annual revenue.
I'm Tiffany Fikes. We've led thousands of people and do it all while being pretty good moms.
And I'm Seychelle Van Poole. We are your podcast to learn how to build big businesses and even bigger lives.
Welcome, everyone. I am Tiffany Fikes with my lovely co-host, Sarah Reynolds, off for another great empire building podcast.
That's right. I'm super excited to talk about what we are going to dive in to today because we're going to continue to get tactical. We've been hearing from a lot of our listeners that you guys are liking these tactical episodes, especially focusing on the real estate industry, as many of our listeners are in the real estate industry. But honestly, this episode and really episode series, because yes, we've got two episodes coming your way, is all about negotiations. And you can't really get more tactical than negotiations when it comes to how to negotiate the best for our clients. And so today we're going to dive in to a more general episode about steps to following in negotiations. And then next week, we're going to discuss how to take those steps and get tactical with representing sellers. And so that is up on deck for today and next week for you. And we were talking before we started recording about negotiations, and Tiffany has a good story for you, also a tactic on how to negotiate.
It is. It's a surefire way to win. I don't recommend it from a work-life balance standpoint, but when I was pregnant and it was 3 weeks before my due date. So like I didn't even have a bag packed for the hospital. And it was the weekend and we were negotiating two different deals on properties, and my water broke totally unexpectedly. And then I'm on the way to the hospital and I had the advantage of my water broke, but I didn't fully go into labor. But I did not tell anyone, any of the other agents, that that had happened until like 12 hours later and I was in the hospital. And so when they called me back and they were like, hey, my buyers want to do this on your listing, I was like, look, I'm literally, my water broke, I'm in the hospital in labor. And they're like, well, never mind, let me go back to my buyers. I bet I can get them to take whatever you just sent. And I got my sellers, two different sellers, everything they wanted because the other agent just did not want to be talking to me while I was in labor.
So listeners, these are your options. Okay. Option one is get pregnant, wait to go into labor, and then use that as a tactic to get your clients a good deal. Or listen to today's episode.
Or follow easier steps on today's episode.
Yes. Okay. So we're going to dive into some general steps on when you're negotiating. And these can be applied to representing a buyer. It can be applied to representing a seller. It can be actually applied to any form of negotiation. So if you're not in the real estate industry, keep listening, because all of these steps, tactics can be used to help in negotiations. So step one for negotiations is you want to make a connection. Typically, when you are negotiating, you're dealing with multiple parties, right? In a real estate transaction, you've got the other agent, you've got their client, and you have your client, and you have yourself, okay? And humans do negotiations, okay? Computers don't. Humans do. Okay. So you want to make a connection with the humans involved. And in the real estate industry, the connection, obviously, first and foremost, is with your client. But the second connection is with that other agent, because you've got to be able to make it work with the other agent. So you want to make a connection. You want the other party, the other agent, to feel like really they're sort of part of the team. Because the truth is in a real estate transaction, they are part of a team. The connection or lack of connection with the other agent in a real estate transaction can actually make or break it happening for your client. And so it actually is in the best interest of your client and of the other party as well for you to make a connection. So you want to make a connection with them and really build that relationship. So some tactical things that I like to do is ask them, you know, how long have you been working with this client? How many homes have you shown? Oh, wow, you've shown 20 homes. Like, how did it feel when you found this one? Like, is this the right one, do you think, for your client? So get personal. Think about the work that they've done. They put in a lot of work to get to this point. And so get personal, ask questions, make that connection with the other party. That's step number one.
Love it. And like, that's a great example back to my story. Like that, like they wanted to help me
yes.
not have to be doing this. And so that's that personal connection is what actually won it.
True.
Won the negotiation. So yes, step one, make a connection. Okay. So step two, actively listen. And I would say this is almost like 1A also, because that's a part of connecting with somebody is really listen to them. Don't just take their offer and, you know, move on and go present it to your people. After you've connected with them, like you need to do active listening, which is not something that we practice a lot. Let me tell you what active listening means. It means that you are showing the other party with your words that you hear them.
Yes.
So like you do not rush them. You don't try to finish their sentences thinking you know what they, you know, are going to say. You are repeating back words that they said. So you're saying that they, that, you know, price is most important to them. Or so you're saying they really need to be in this school district. That is active listening, your ability to reflect something back.
Yeah, you could use reflective listening as another way of saying the same thing. And I think I actually prefer reflective listening versus active, because I love what you just said, Tiffany. You reflect it back, what they've said.
Yeah.
Right. I love that.
And like, take notes, write it down, pull over. Don't be having, okay, that's another one. Don't be having important negotiating conversations in the car while you're driving somewhere. Pull over, because you're not going to be able to use these techniques well while you're driving.
Yeah.
You know, make sure that you're using a calm and friendly and upbeat voice. You see how that changed just a second when I started smiling and talking a little differently? You know, that's a great technique. Make sure you're asking a lot of questions. Don't assume anything. One of the things Sarah and I both have gotten really focused on is like, no, I need you to define blue for me. Like, what do you mean by blue? Is it the light baby blue? Are we talking about aqua? You know, like, don't assume you understand what they mean by a quick close is important to them.
Yes.
Well, is 3 weeks quick? Is 2 weeks quick? Is 45 days quick? You know, ask a lot of questions. And that is going to help you also get a lot of information, because I always tell my agents, like, the more information you have, the more power you have in a negotiation. So, you know, if you're the buyer's agent, how long did they stay in the home? You know, like, what are the things, the information that you can really get from people? What's the buyer's reason for moving? Engaging this other agent in a real conversation about their clients.
During this step, the other thing that I think I want to mention here is when you're asking the questions, and or as you're talking with them, as they're sharing information, one of the things that can happen that you can fall trapped to is arguing. So for example, you're a listing agent and the buyer's agent calls you and they're like, we're considering making an offer. The price seems a little high. My buyer wants to write an offer for a little bit lower based on their situation. In the beginning of my career, I would start arguing because, you know, like you feel like you want to defend whatever they're saying. So if they're saying the price seems high, you know, like the trap there is to start arguing with them about why you determined the price or how the seller came to the price or why the seller needs it at that price. Do not fall for that trap. Do not argue. During this step, you want to ask so many questions like, why does the buyer feel the house is high? Why does the buyer need to offer lower than the asking price. The more information you have, that was such a gold line from Tiffany. The more information you have, the more power you have in negotiations. So in the beginning, you're asking questions, you're actively listening, you are not defending, you're not arguing, okay? So be very careful not to fall trap to arguing in that case. And I think it's also important in terms of questions, and we're going to keep on this step for a little bit because I think this is critical because it sets the tone for the rest of the negotiations, right? This period of conversation, like connection, of listening, sets the tone whether or not you're going to make it work or not. And your job is to make it work for your client at that point, right? That's your job. Okay, so if you turn them away, if you insult the buyer's agent and or the if you're the buyer's agent, insult the listing agent, like how did you even come up with that price, right? Would be an insult. So the listing agent, right? It will literally could ruin the potential of your client getting the house or your client getting the home under contract. So don't be the reason. Your job is to make it work for the client, not to ruin it, right? So asking also open-ended questions is critical. So do your best to stay away from can, is, are, does, do questions and instead ask what or how questions. And why is a good question, but you got to make sure to watch your tone because why can also really upset the other party.
Yeah. And so what about is a substitute for why? If you're not quite practiced in how to ask a why question with curiosity instead of accusing, because your tone can go accusing very quickly.
Yep. So make that connection, step one. Step two, actively listen. Step three, so once you've gotten, like you're now in negotiations, okay? So you've actively listened, you've built that, you now most likely have an offer, okay? So step three is you want to explain the options to your client, okay? Explaining the risk and the benefits of those options. And then based on what they want to do, you then want to make a counter. And ideally, you want to counter in writing, okay? 90% of the time, you're going to counter in writing, okay? And one of the things that I think is critical when you are in the process of countering back and forth is you want to not rush the process of countering. Whether you're representing a buyer or you're representing a seller, you're dealing with thousands of dollars. Like, let's just level set for a second for everyone listening. If you're in the real estate industry, we are serving people with their largest asset that they have, their home. Like, it's their largest asset. Most times, the purchaser will never purchase something that has a higher dollar figure than their home. And most times, sellers will never sell something that they own that has a higher dollar figure than their home. It's serious. What we do is serious. Negotiating is serious. And you don't want to rush, okay? You want to make the other party sort of feel like they've got options, that they're not like tied to it. Anytime I have another agent that's rushing, I know I have the upper hand for my client.
Yeah, I tell my sellers all the time, like even if they want to answer really quickly, I'm like, whoever has the most time wins.
Yes.
Like, so I'm going to send this to you, but do not sign this until after 5 o'clock tonight, or do not, you know, like you've got to slow down. So yeah, that's so huge. Cause yeah, when somebody gets me a counter in like an hour, I know.
Oh yeah.
We don't have to take it.
Yes. You know? Well, cause what that tells us is that they want the house so bad and you can then counter with like giving up very little or vice versa, right? The seller's desperate. If the seller counters and or accepts right away, like, oh, you did a really good job. So don't rush. And so, and you want to make counters. In most cases, good negotiations is typically also making smaller counters. I learned this when I worked with builders. So when I first got my license, the county that I live in started out as only 2,700 homes, not county, the city that I live in, the town. It now has over 12,000 homes. Okay. So 2 decades later, what? 4 times bigger, right?
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a huge jump. And I had to learn how to negotiate with builders because I was representing a lot of new construction. That's how the area grew, is through new construction. And I learned from builders that builders would counter very small counters back. So like if we were offering 550 and let's say they were asking 600,000, they would come back at like 595. And then I would watch my buyers jump up like 15, 20 grand when they only came down five. And so I started learning like, wait a second, like that's a tactic that works. And so one tactic that can be used in a lot of markets is making small counters versus don't do this like meet in the middle thing. Like that's not good negotiations typically. Make a small counter and the other party will jump up much bigger than typically what you countered back at.
At Her Best Life, we're not just building businesses. We're growing our net worth, leveraging our platforms for good, and living our big lives. And that's what Empire Circle is all about. It's an executive membership designed for ambitious business women leaders who want more. More growth, more profit, more impact, and more freedom. This is where powerful, deep connections meet powerful results. Apply now at herbestlife.com and join us by stepping in to Empire Circle.
Well, and this is like also negotiating in a shifting market. Like buyers will throw out potentially on the, you know, if you're on the listing side, buyers, if you've been sitting on the market for a while, they may just throw out a really low offer to see what you do. And when you only come down a little bit or not at all, like, I mean, I've done that sometimes where it's just like, no.
Yeah.
And then they pay the price. Like,
yes.
I have had a buyer put in an offer that is 50 under on a $300,000 house and then pay the full 300 at the end because they just want to see. They're just testing the water. And so if you hold firm, even just one time, little counter, not a big one, they will jump. And that is a tactic for a shifting market, which a lot of us don't know how to negotiate in that. So
yep.
Big tip
there. So good.
From Sarah.
And then do your best, like I said, to counter in writing because it makes a difference. So someone verbally saying they will do something versus them having it in their email box, looking at, okay, I could get my house sold today for this dollar amount, or I could get this house right now, today, it makes a level of seriousness that you want to portray. Okay, you want to portray that level of seriousness to make sure that you can move it forward.
Well, and to that point, like we never even talk price with the other agent. The first time they see it is on paper. You know, we may say, we would ask a lot of questions, but we're never going to be like, I think we're going to offer 1.85 on the house. Like, I'm like, we're going to do our best. I'm not sure. Let's talk about closing. We like kind of generally talk about things, but we never talk specifics until it's in writing because I don't want them to have an emotional, them being the other party, have an emotional response to the number or the conditions until they actually, to Sarah's point, see it in writing and know that they could be done right now.
And that really goes with the next step, Tiffany, that you're about to dive into, because it also helps with the entire package.
Yeah.
Negotiations is not just price.
Yeah. Step four, negotiate the whole package. You want to consider, I tell my agents, consider every blank in the contract as a piece of negotiation.
Yes.
You know, so financing type, what are your closing dates, any contingencies, you know, occupancy, inspection, like everywhere in your contracts that you have to fill something in, that can be a point of negotiation. And you can give things in one and not in the other. And you can then the next counter, you don't have to keep playing in that field. You can go back to a different blank. Like the whole thing is your playground here. So one of the things that I always ask is how, like, what's most important to the other party?
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's things like, you know, you've made that connection with the agent. Tell me, is it price or is it net that's most important? Because some people need to see 1.85 and they'll pay you $50,000 of concessions and feel great about it. Then other people would rather see 1.4 and no concessions and they would be happier. So, like, is it the net proceeds to them? Is it just the price that's most important to them?
Is it timing?
Is it the time of the closing?
Sometimes timing is most critical, right? So they say quick close. And as Tiffany said at the beginning, right, you need to define what that means because that can mean different things to different people. And okay, tell me what that means to your seller. If timing is most important to you, what does that mean? When do they need to have this closed by, right? Because if that's what's most important, boy, can you get a great deal, right? with price. So that's such a powerful question, Tiffany, is what's most important to the other party? So good.
Well, and whenever you are responding back with the counter, that's what you use. Like, okay, I was able to get them the timing that they wanted. It was kind of, you know, like my buyers really weren't excited about it, but they're going to make it work. So great news. We got your seller the timing that you want.
Yes.
And then I don't even talk about the price. It's just in the contract, the rest of it.
Yeah.
So.
And then when you're talking to that client where quick was most important, like if you're on that side where quick is most important, right, you're going to actually put a value to it. So when you're talking, like I was able to get the timing that you were wanting, which will save you the carrying costs the next month. So based on what you shared with me, that's going to save you about $4,000. So we need to take that into account with the offer that you are saving the carrying costs of the next month of the home because we were able to get the timing. Okay, so you want to negotiate the whole package. Step five, I think this is Tiffany and I's like soapbox maybe. You got to remember, especially in real estate, that the average agent last year sold 1.3 houses. Okay, so their experience level is low. Okay, typically in a real estate transaction, the other party does not have a lot of experience. Now, you're not going to make them feel small because of that. Don't do that.
You're on their team.
You're on their team.
Step one.
Yes, okay, you're on their team. Okay, and you have to realize that you want to communicate to the other party like you're communicating to their client, because most agents will either just forward the email or screenshot the text message, or they will literally repeat exactly what you said, like almost word for word. Okay. So you want to communicate to the other party as if you're communicating to their client, right? So, as an example, we're so thankful for this offer, right? So, let's say you're representing the seller and you're communicating to the buyer's agent. Okay. We're so thankful for this offer and we for sure want to make it work. Right. So they're going to hear that. And then they're going to go to the buyer and say, they said that they were thankful for our offer and good news, they want to make it work. Right. They're going to literally say word for word what you said. And then we're countering at $30 a month increase for your buyer. And why, as a listing agent, I always countered with the buyer's payment. Okay. Because I want the buyer's agent to communicate that to the buyer, because most buyer's agents will communicate, okay, they asked us to come up, you know, 20 grand versus they asked us to come up $120 a month in payment. Because to a seller, it's real dollars and cents. To a buyer, that dollar and cents is over 30 years amortized, over 30 years in a payment. And you want them to communicate the way that you're communicating to them, to their client, because they want to break down the payment. You want them to break down the payment if you were the listing agent. Okay. But that's just an example of you want to communicate to the other party, assuming they're going to forward that communication or repeat that communication to the other party. So be very careful in how you communicate it.
Everything you write will be forwarded on. Just yes. Write it like it's to the buyer, or write it like it's to the actual seller, because most agents are, that's how they're communicating.
Yep.
Which is a huge advantage. If
yes.
You will do it that way, this is how you win.
Yes.
All right. Next step. Step six. Your words matter. That's just a life lesson. But like
yes.
The words you use matter. So great words. That's right. People want to be agreed with. You know, like I used to say great to everything that was said to me, to the point that my family actually mocked me. My parents would make fun of me because they would be like, we said, we're not coming for Christmas. And you said, I know what the next word is. Great. When are we going to see you next? You know, like you want to agree with the other person. Cause, and this is not my natural tendency. I be arguing. Yeah. I like to argue.
Me too.
I am a debater. And so like, this was why I had to make it such a thing that my parents make fun of me for it. Like, agree. That's right. Yes. You know, all those things. When someone says something to you, agree with them.
Yeah. Don't make the other party feel small. Right.
Right.
Because that it just creates so much division. I learned this so much from my mom, because I'm like Tiffany. I'm an arguer. I like to defend. And I had to learn, like, no, your job is to make it work for your client. And when you defend, when you argue, you have a high chance of losing it for the client. So do not do that. So I love that, Tiffany.
Yeah. Next one, also hard for Sarah and I. I'll just go ahead and say Sarah and I. Silence is powerful. I always say, let silence do the heavy lifting.
Yes.
Like, say something and then be quiet, because the first one who speaks loses.
Yep.
In a negotiation. So I live with a master of this. He, Joshua, my husband, can be quiet longer than you think a human could do it. You know, like, he can sit in silence and be perfectly comfortable. And so I'm always, when I say something, I'm like, be Joshua. Just be zen. Sit here and let it be awkward, because it's more awkward for them than it is for you. And they will say something first, and they will give you usually some bit of information or something like that.
And that really applies to when you're talking to your client. Like, how do you feel about that net? Shut up. Okay. When you're talking to the other party, if you're doing face-to-face negotiations, right? Like with builders, like I had to do a lot of face-to-face negotiations. Same thing. Let the silence do the heavy lifting. I love that. So making sure that we pause and let them have time to think things through. They're actually thinking a lot in their head when you're asking questions. And so let them do the thinking. And then, like Tiffany said, it's more uncomfortable for them than it is for us. And so a lot of times, silence will do a lot of lifting for you, versus if you keep talking, you'll ruin it. So shut it up. Shut it up.
Yep. Mirroring is also really valuable. So, like, you know, if somebody says, we're going to come with an offer of 500,000, just repeat back. So you're going to come with an offer for 500,000. Because it kind of is like silence, and it's also agreeing with them. But then they feel like, well, now I'm talking still. Like, now it's my turn to talk. So I have to fill the space. So mirroring is valuable at getting the other person to insert new information into the negotiation that can help you, for sure.
Yes. Sometimes they also will, like, when they hear it, they also will, like, sort of undo it.
Yeah.
Like, if they, after them hearing it, like, oh, wow, like, that offer is 500,000 when you're listed at 600,000, right? They'll start to be like, well, yes, now they can pay more. And you're like, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, wow, okay, you're getting more for your client just from mirroring. It's so powerful.
Yeah.
So, so powerful.
And then the other thing that was big for me to learn is apologizing when you've done nothing wrong or you're not wrong. But, you know, like, oh, I'm sorry, I probably wasn't clear about what was most important to my client. Like, you know, you get that counter back, and then you call the agent and you start with, oh, I'm so sorry, I got your counter. I must not have been clear about what was most important to my buyers.
Yes.
And then you be quiet. And, you know, like, let's do all of these things. And then, who knows what they'll say next?
Yep.
They'll probably up their offer, tell you, oh, well, they would pay a little bit more.
So good.
So that's the I'm sorry, which as females may be a little bit easier than the male counterparts to do.
True.
But this is a time when it's valuable from a negotiation standpoint, because you want the other person to feel smarter than you.
Yes.
Like, you want to affirm them. You want them to feel like, oh, my mistake. You are not doing anything wrong. Like, it's all on me. Which also comes to, like, thank them for their work.
Yes.
Every time I get an offer, thank you so much for all that work. I know, you know, because we know they've shown 20 houses because we asked them all those questions. Like, I know you've been with these buyers a long time. Thank you so much for this offer. I'll be presenting it to my seller on Monday, or, you know, whatever your timing is. So thanking them puts you on their side as well. So it's kind of goes back to the tactic number one at the top.
Yeah. And I always just got in the habit of showing gratitude for everyone involved, because what I think we've all learned, those of us that have done this a long time, is, like, it does take everyone's work to make it happen. And having a deep sense of gratitude for the other side, it just goes so far. And honestly, it's something that's missing in our industry, is gratitude for one another of the work that we've done and acknowledging it. A lot of times our clients don't do that, right? A lot of times clients, you know, they're not always the first to show gratitude for our work. And when you can show gratitude to the other party, boy, will it go so far. So those are some of our general tips on how to negotiate. We are going to continue this series next week and dive into getting tactical in terms of how to help your sellers get the most amount of money in negotiations. And we might even do a bonus episode of negotiation traps to avoid, because we've got some traps that we have all fallen into that we want to share with our listeners. So remember these steps. Step one, make a connection. Step two, actively listen. Step three, make small counters. Step four, negotiate the whole package. Step five, communicate to the other agent, assuming they're going to forward that communication to the other party. And step six, your words matter. And next week on deck, you're going to learn how to use these steps to get your sellers more money. So join us next week. If you got a lot out of this episode, share it with a friend, share it with someone else in the business, and let's get out there and continue living a big business and even bigger life. Bye, guys. Have a great week.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not Keller Williams Realty LLC and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.